You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 350, and we're doing our preview for Miami. Randall's here. Randall, how's it going?
It's not going too bad. It's game week again. It was kind of nice to have a weekend off in this miserable season, but I'm excited for another football weekend.
I agree. It was good to have a break, but it's also good and better to be back. To start us off with, I have a quote from Lou Holtz. The man who complains about the way the ball bounces is likely to be the one who dropped it. And I think we'll start doing that more regularly, having a maybe a quote to open up the episodes, or at least a couple of the episodes. So Notre Dame is facing Miami, a tough opponent, but they've also had some bad luck as of late. They're coming off three losses. And however, they are favored in this matchup. I was thinking that there's a good chance Notre Dame is going to be favored in this game, but Miami is favored by 2 points.
I'm not really surprised. I expected them to be favored, but they're definitely on a bad stretch of the season this year, just like Notre Dame. The difference is Miami still has won over half their games.
That is true. Let's look at just some of the numbers where they compare as far as points per game and yards per game. So both Miami and Notre Dame are scoring over 30 points per game. Notre Dame is barely hanging on at 30.3, and Miami's at 33.7. Total points allowed is a little bit more of a difference. Miami's at 17 points per game, and Notre Dame is just a shade under 28. Total yards is pretty much neck and neck at 414 yards per game. And passing is pretty similar. Notre Dame passes for about 260 yards per game and rushes for 150. And Miami passes for just a few under 250 and rushes for 167. And then as far as yards allowed, Notre Dame's at 400 and Miami's at 340. And defensively, Notre Dame is giving up quite a bit more rushing yards per game than Miami. Notre Dame's giving up 180, and Miami is giving up under 150, which is still not great. Giving up 150 per game, or at least averaging that out. So, who is this Miami team? Brian Kelly has said they're not very. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say they're the convicts.
They're not very diverse in the different looks they give up front. Their defensive front stays the same. But they play hard. They go play. And just from watching some of their games this year, you can definitely see it. They fire off the ball, their defensive front. They get after the quarterback. And they actually lead the nation in tackles for loss. So that's a problem, because Notre Dame needs to do a better job of converting third down, and you do that by not having negative plays, and opposite from that, on first and second down, getting some positive yards.
Exactly.
And creating third and short situations. So definitely they definitely offer some, they offer a unique obstacle or a unique problem for Notre Dame in that aspect, because that's something that Notre Dame has been working on, some short yardage passing plays, which we'll get to later on.
I'll just throw this in there real quick. The against Stanford, as far as first down, in the first half when they scored 10 points, I think they had 11 first downs, and on 8 of those they ran the ball, which in result they scored 10 points. The rest of the game, I forget how many first downs there were exactly, but they only ran it on a couple of those, and they scored 0 points.
On a couple of those third downs?
First downs.
Oh.
And if you look at what happened on those first downs, they were incompletions, interceptions, sacks, like no gain. And so they're always stuck in second and long, third and long. And it's because of what's happening on first down.
And that might have been an adjustment that Stanford made to Notre Dame at halftime. To bring formations that would take Notre Dame from running the ball on those first downs. Offensively for Miami, they do more different things. Their quarterback, who has been very great at times and very bad at times.
Are you going to try to pronounce his name?
I'm going to try to.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. Brad Kaya.
How I would say. Supposedly somebody at the press conference made it sound like he was almost saying Zaire, but I don't think that was right, but I would go with Kaya.
He's under center some. He's in shotgun some. He does run the read zone some. So they definitely mix it up in the looks that they're going to be giving Notre Dame's defense. And definitely the key is going to be getting pressure onto him, and we'll go into some of the numbers how he performs under pressure versus how he performs when he's not under pressure. Just some general topic, I guess, to get out of the way. Don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. Jack Sorbrick's endorsement of Brian Kelly is saying he will be leading Notre Dame out of the tunnel next season, which we'd mentioned it on our other podcast. But Brian Kelly was asked how that makes him feel, and pretty much he said it's disappointing. And some in the media, not the Notre Dame media, more the national media, did not take that well, thought he was being sarcastic. And, of course, I mean, I don't know what else do you expect Brian Kelly to say. I mean, I think what he said was right, and it was true, that he is disappointed that where Notre Dame's at this year, under his coaching and leadership, they're at 2-5. And the question needs to be asked to Jack, is Brian Kelly going to be around next year?
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, I'm impressed he said that, and, you know, it wasn't just like, we're good buddies, he's going to, whatever. But, what do you expect? You shouldn't feel good about that.
Brian Kelly was asked what he did in this bye week, and he did spend some time on recruiting and did a lot of evaluation of the football program. Some things he mentioned that they need to work on were they're down 84 yards from last year as far as rushing yards per game. Their third down defense needs to improve. He mentioned the Stanford game, how they only had four possessions in the first half, and that the defense needs to do a better job. They've been doing great as far as not giving up points, but he needs them to improve on third down to get the offense back on the field. And he said he even looked on play calling and the sequence of play calling. And maybe that's been the big problem these last 2 weeks where Notre Dame hasn't been able to score points. Obviously, North Carolina State was a little bit of a unique situation. But against Stanford, they had drives in the first half, you know, that produced 10 points, but they had some that didn't go anywhere, and especially in the second half. So I guess one other thing was emphasis on red zone and third down. That will be something that will continue as far as they kind of change that in their practice over the last few weeks, and that will continue to be a point of emphasis and something that they'll stick to, that change that they made to put an emphasis on that.
He also celebrated his birthday this last, I believe it was yesterday.
I think so.
So I'm guessing there wasn't a whole lot of celebration and there was more watching film and trying to figure out what's wrong with this team.
All right, let's just talk a little bit about Brad Kaya and where is he great, where is he not so great. Randall, you had Pro Football Focus, they have an article out there that anyone can go read looking at last week's game where they lost to Virginia Tech 37-16. And over the past 3 weeks for Miami, they've scored, all three have been losses, but they've scored 19 against Florida State, they've scored 13 against North Carolina, and they scored 16 against Virginia Tech. So Notre Dame is struggling offensively the last few weeks, but so is Miami.
Yeah, and a lot of their numbers do look so good because of what they did in the first couple weeks of the season when they were playing nobody. This is where Ruben chimes in and says, I told you they're not overrated. But obviously, that makes their numbers look a lot better. They have not been doing so well the last couple weeks, which have brought those numbers down. But, yeah, just looking at some of the stats, just like Kaya, as far as the games, look at the running backs, just to show you what it is. In the first four games, Mark Walton their main running back, averaged, no, in the first three games, he averaged 7.7 yards per carry. Well, since then, he's gone 2.9, 2.8, 3.4, and 3.5. So a lot of it has to do with the offensive line, too. But once they got into that harder competition, things, the offense definitely took a step back. And then as far as Kaya, he performs very well under pressure. Pro Football Focus said he performs, when he's not under pressure, he's at 67% on his passes. And
is that completion percentage?
Yeah.
Or his rating? Okay.
His completion percentage. His pass rating is 110.3. Then when he is under pressure, he only completes 32.4% of his passes, and his rating is 37.9.
And keep in mind, when Pro Football Focus rates the quarterback under pressure, which we had analysts on a few months ago, if the quarterback's normal throwing motion or movement in the pocket, if that's altered, that's considered him being under pressure.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's getting hit each one of those times, and that's why it's so low. Just getting pressure on him, causing him to move or somehow change his normal throwing pattern or footwork. So that's good news for Notre Dame.
Yes, and he's not a threat to take off and run, which he probably will against Notre Dame. But
I guarantee you he'll tell me his longest run.
His longest run of the season up to this point is 2 yards.
He will have a longer run against Notre Dame.
He will set a new season high.
A season best.
How long do you expect it to be?
8 yards.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't think he'll be outrunning too many guys, but definitely a run for a first down of 8 yards before Niles Morgan, before he meets Niles Morgan.
But it'll definitely be interesting to see where Notre Dame is at, because it looks like they should be able to get pressure on the quarterback, but you all start looking at the teams they've been playing. They don't have the best offenses. So it's been, I think they will be able to get some pressure on him.
I think so too.
And when I saw those numbers, that gave me a little more hope for Notre Dame. A lot of times you see those numbers, and even when they drop, they can still, when they're under pressure, they say, oh, then they're rushing, for so many yards per carry, but this guy doesn't run. But if they give him time, he's going to pick you apart.
All right, should we move over and talk about, let me just give you some numbers here. The article from last week from Pro Football Focus, some of the top players that stood out on defense. Their linebacker, which Randall, you said their linebackers are all freshmen.
They're all true freshmen.
Two of their linebackers received top grades on the defensive side of the ball, Zach McLeod and Michael Pinky. And then their defensive back, they're really solid, definitely. And they had two defensive backs that also graded out pretty high. Their cornerback, Corn Elder, and their safety, Jamal Carter. And then their defensive tackle, R.J. McIntosh, all graded out as their best players on defense. So, and this is just from this past week, not overall. But their defensive backs are very solid. And the thing is, their defensive line, they run hard. They get after the quarterback. And it is definitely a concern, because we haven't been doing so great in pass protection. And part of that's been on Kaiser. Part of that's been on the offensive line. But we definitely have struggled there. I am optimistic that some things got fixed, and maybe should we talk about Notre Dame's offensive line now, you still want to talk about
here's
Miami?
Just a couple more things about the defense. We all think that Notre Dame is the only team that loses players before the season starts, but Miami lost their leading tackler and their best pass rusher. They were both suspended before the season started, so they definitely took a hit on the defense, but they still lead the nation in tackles for loss, and they've had 22 sacks this year already. So they still bring pressure, and they're very good at it. So and you know, they, Manny Diaz is their defensive coordinator. So they do a lot of different stuff, and I expect them to get some pressure on Notre Dame. Just a little bit more on the offense. Their tight ends are very good. They have two good tight ends. So Notre Dame will have their hands full trying to, I don't know if they have Cole Luke in there helping, Drew Tranquil. I don't know, because the safeties are going to be, or the cornerbacks are going to be busy with the wide receivers. Their leading wide receiver is a true freshman, but he's doing very well and is a deep threat as well. But then, you know, they have the tight ends to deal with, and they're averaging over 15 yards a catch. So that's definitely something to watch, and so they need to get that pressure on the quarterback. But yeah, that's about all I have. Go ahead with what you were saying.
Well, and I was ready to switch over talking about different position groups for Notre Dame.
Okay.
When Brian Kelly was asked about the offensive line and some of the struggles they've had, he says it's not just their fault. It's receivers running routes at the proper depth, the quarterback getting rid of the ball. And in fact, that's something that Sean Kizer said in his interview earlier today, that that's something he needs to work on, is looking to throw the ball away. And that's something we've talked about too. We haven't seen him throw the ball away a lot at all this season. And maybe, I don't even know if you remember how often he did last year, but you often see quarterbacks, so there's nothing there, just chuck it. And, you know, he can also make a play on the ground just by running it, but I'd rather see him throw it away than take a sack.
Exactly.
McGovern is back and healthy and in the starting lineup again. And here's something that might surprise you. So, beginning of the season, Pro Football Focus had Notre Dame as the top-ranked offensive line in the country. Surprise, surprise, they're no longer number one.
What?
However, they are still in the top 10.
No.
They're number 10. And they've graded out positively in both passing and rushing protection. Passing protection and
well, they got it wrong at the beginning of the year, so they might still be getting it wrong.
and Mike McGlinchey was asked kind of what's the difference between this year and last year when they had all the success running the football. And he said, you know, last year, and I know, you guys all know this, we all know this, but he just kind of says, you know, there was a lot of talent last year, but the biggest difference is experience. They had guys that had a ton of experience, three guys that left, and this year, you know, there's just a lot of new guys on that squad. So I'm pretty optimistic. I do think it'll get turned around. I don't think it'll be a light switch difference, but I think it'll be a dimmer switch. I think we'll see improvements this second half of the season and as games go on.
The difference with the experience is that you would think with the quarterback having more experience, it would have helped. But in Notre Dame's case, it seems the more experience the quarterback has, the worse they look. So that was the perfect scenario last year, an experienced offensive line with an inexperienced quarterback, and that has seemed to be the key for Notre Dame's success.
He was also asked, all the players that did interviews were asked, what's their motivation at this point, you know, far removed from a playoff or even a major bowl game. And for him it was...
For a bowl game.
Or from a, well, and pretty much removed from a bowl game. He said it's personal pride.
Oh, that's good to hear, because it has to be. You don't want a team just giving up now. This is where they're at, and you want them to keep playing.
One of the improvements over the bye week, they have iPads. They can look at film and do some self scouting, and something that he said that there has been an improvement on from Texas to where they're at now is communication. And the example he gave was on the right side of the line, one of the O linemen might yell out to point out something that the defense is bringing. And now the communication is getting over to the other side, where he can also make that adjustment that the guy on the other side is pointing out. All right, let's talk running backs.
We have running backs?
Has Josh Adams been healthy? Brian Kelly said he'd be lying if he said that he was healthy this whole year. So we do remember in fall camp he was dinged up and wasn't practicing all the time. But he is healthy now. Brian Kelly said he was the guy that benefited the most from the bye week, getting healthy. And
so now if you have two healthy running backs, Folston and Adams are supposedly 100% healthy. There's only one thing left to do.
Give Dexter Williams the ball. Brian Kelly was asked what... He doesn't have the athleticism that Dexter Williams and Josh Adams have. So what does Folston give you? And he said vision and patience, trusting that the offensive line is going to make the block. And he said it's a learned ability. It's something that even though they're teaching it, it's something that just needs to kind of, you need to do it and learn to believe it before you can believe it.
Yeah, and you saw some of that success against Stanford when he was finally able to do that. But they decided to go away from that.
And then at wide receiver, EQ was another guy that benefited from the bye week. He's had a heavy workload. He's a sophomore, but didn't play a whole lot last year. And then Chase Claypool and Stepherson are some guys we might be seeing some more of. Brian Kelly said that they've shown that those are two guys that should see the field some more.
I don't think we necessarily will, because a couple weeks ago we heard how Brian Kelly said that he told his staff they need to get Chase Claypool in the game and get him more involved, and he wasn't more involved.
But this is the bye week now.
I know. I'm just...
I think it's more likely now than it was back then. I do agree with you that I don't really expect it, but I think it's more likely to happen now.
Yeah. Maybe they can get him in instead of Miles Boykin. Miles Boykin at this point hasn't proved that he should be out there. Well, I mean, he hasn't done enough. He's missed some passes that he should have caught. And maybe this was Claypool's chance to maybe bypass him and get some more reps.
And then on the quarterback position, no question that DeShone Kizer is a starter moving forward. Brian Kelly said they need to do a better job of getting him. Well, they talked a lot about simplifying the game plan, and this was talked about a few weeks ago even, kind of doing what they did on the defense, streamlining it, playing to the strengths, what the offense does well, doing more of that. And Torrey Hunter talked to this a little bit, and one thing that he mentioned was using the short passing game more slants, and taking advantage of that. And then by doing that, staying out of third and long situations, and maybe even hopefully eliminating some third downs altogether.
That is good to hear, because that is one of the biggest things they need to do on offense. If they would have just done that against some of these games, I guarantee they could have won.
Kizer did say that he does have complete faith and trust in the coaching staff. So definitely, it still doesn't seem like the locker room is shaken. The kids seem to have confidence in the coaches. And anything from you, Randall? I guess one other thing. I do expect some of that. I do expect to see more of a short passing game, more slants. We haven't seen a ton of slants this year, at least not ones that have been thrown to that receiver. And I think we'd see more of an emphasis maybe even on the screen game too. I know that Brian Kelly said they tried it against North Carolina State, but didn't really produce anything. I think we could see some more of that too moving forward.
Well, it sounds like they're talking about the right things. Now it's just a matter of actually doing that in the game and being successful. I think they can be successful. They just need to do that and gain some confidence doing it.
I didn't know this, but Irish Sports Daily tweeted out and said Kizer stepped away from football early last week and started working on film for Miami.
Well, last week, none of the guys, they didn't practice last week. And so that means he would be doing it on his off time. when most of the other guys went home. Well, I don't know, he might have done it from home, but that's when everybody went on vacation. I know some people weren't too happy that they weren't practicing last week, just because you would think, you know, you're 2-5, you should be getting as much practice in as possible. But they didn't practice last week, and most of the guys went home. So by doing that, it means he didn't just, he wasn't in Aruba laying on the beach. He was getting ready for Miami and wants to do better.
All right. Anything on the tight ends?
Not really. Just like how they play, we don't, there's not too much to say about them. We don't see them too often.
Let's move over then and talk about defense a little bit. Niles Morgan, Branko said, isn't the kind of guy who likes to, he was asked about his leadership. He, Branko had to kind of push him to get in front of a group. But one thing he does do is hold the other players around him accountable. And then I think Tavon Coney's listed as the starter, Niles Morgan and James Onuwalu. Definitely expect to see Asmar Bilal see the field, probably a decent dose of Greer like we did against Stanford. And then on the defensive line, when Brankley was asked kind of who we might see some more of moving forward this second half or since the bye week, is Jonathan Bonner. So we've seen kind of Jay Hayes get more involved, Dalen Hayes get more involved, and Bonner's been out there as well, but he was the one guy I mentioned we might see some more of just from when he was doing the self-scouting, looking back, and he was someone that Brian Kelly mentioned. And on the defensive backs, no change for Devin Butler, and I don't really expect him to be back next year, whether it's by his choice or the university.
It's kind of hard to tell at this point. I guess right now I expect him to be back. But, yeah, it's hard to tell at this point. Which, I'll throw this in now. Max Redfield, was it his Instagram or his Twitter? I looked at it the other week. But he changed the bio, and it basically says, I was 4 credits from graduating at Notre Dame. And so he was very close. You do feel bad for the guy, but it's choices he made. But he was that close to graduating, getting a Notre Dame degree, and now he isn't allowed back on campus.
Yeah, that definitely didn't go over too well, I don't think, generally with him or with people in general.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're ready to wrap it up. We will have our score predictions and our final thoughts on the game on Thursday night, as well as our opponents podcast, where we'll look at who Notre Dame's opponents are playing.
One thing we should throw in, Brian Kelly did say they might not be the... Well, he said we're the healthiest team in the country, which I don't know if they actually are or not. I don't know how... I mean, according to how many players you would have out, but we should mention that and take a moment to feel good about that, because the past couple years have not been like that. It seemed like Notre Dame was the unhealthiest team in the country, and you were always looking at, you know, when was the last time we actually heard the motto, next man in? We've hardly heard that this year.
No.
Obviously, you know, Sean Crawford went down, when that happened, but it has not been like other years. So whatever they've done, whatever they're doing, they got to keep doing it. And, you know, we get into some more of the strength and conditioning coaches, you know, and the team. But Notre Dame is doing very well with the injuries this year. So the difference is, even with all those injuries other years, they were still winning. Now they have all the players and they're not winning.
I still feel like Notre Dame's going to get this turned around. I think they're going to get turned around against Miami. But the problem is, I felt this way. I felt this way against Stanford. I felt this way against Michigan State. And so, yeah, don't believe a word I say.
As Kyle used to say, I'm no expert.
Exactly. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to check back on Thursday for another podcast. And I guess until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.